With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri, on this Reformation Sunday. Our worship begins on page 184 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 657, 645, 644, and 849. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, The Gift of Righteousness, taken from Romans 3, verses 19 through 28. Our radio broadcast this morning is being sponsored by Bob and Janet Eichholz in honor of their 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you for sharing your joy with our radio.
Aware of that and hoping you get for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Dear beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And I shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be on my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this Reformation Sunday comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 14. John writes, saying, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. And by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
our epistle reading this morning, Paul writes about the very core of the Christian faith. And it's very fitting then that every year on Reformation Sunday, we would read over the same passage, Romans chapter 3. Because Romans 3 lays out the gospel so clearly. It's as if the gospel is just being spoon-fed to us. Here is the good news. And it's fitting because historically, the Reformation is all about going back to the truth. It's going back to the very center and foundation of our faith. We need to hear this every year. In fact, we need to hear it every week because the gospel by nature is foreign, distant, and alien to our natural mind. And because of that, we are so prone to forget it. We naturally reject it and deny it, which is why then we today remember and celebrate the Reformation. Around Luther's time, the church was in a dark and unholy place. The clergy of the day taught that forgiveness was earned. They taught that forgiveness and life must either be purchased or otherwise earned through works. It's either bought or it's something that you earn by proving just how sorrowful you were. If you desired forgiveness, you had to prove the genuineness of your sorrow and repentance by saying the right prayers and by repeating them over and over again. You had to pray those Hail Marys. And if you didn't go through the works, then there was no forgiveness. But when Luther comes along and starts to read Romans chapter 3, this became one of those key passages for him. It was just one of many that convicted him from the falsehood of the Roman church. For Paul's message here opened Luther's eyes to the truth of God's gospel. I'm sure you've heard verse 23 many times before. I'm sure it sounded familiar as we read it just moments ago, saying, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But it's important that we don't stop there, because we so often put a period there where Paul puts a comma. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, comma. But in verse 24, he goes on, "These same ones who have fallen short are justified by grace as a gift." And this morning, I want to focus a little more on that word justified. But before that we do, there's those two other words that we need to emphasize as well. We are justified by grace as a gift. Grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. It's favor you didn't earn. You don't deserve it. Grace is God's blessing that he poured out upon human creatures. It's been well said that if you want an acronym for grace, then you can think of it like this: God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is those riches, the blessings, and the favor of God. And likewise, then, does the word gift emphasize this same point? We are justified by grace as a gift, and it hardly needs to be said what a gift is. We all know. But for now, let me just stress that a gift is something that is given freely. It's something given with no strings attached. It's the opposite of a wage or someone's dues. It's given not because you've earned it, but because the giver simply longs to bless you. And so we see that whatever being justified means, we know that it is by grace. Being justified is a free gift. It's a blessing from God that we don't deserve, nor have we ever earned it. And so, dear friends, this word justified, then, is about to bring in the full weight of the gospel. Because being justified is a legal term. It's one that you will find in a courtroom. And in such a courtroom do you and I stand before a holy and perfect God. God is just, and therefore he demands justice. A holy and just God cannot overlook the sins of man. Where the law is transgressed, then payment must be made, for there must be retribution under the law. There must be payment where pride and selfishness transgresses beyond the will of God. And so does a severe and harsh punishment await us as we stand before the eyes of God who sees into the very hearts and minds. We stand before the great white throne upon whose sits the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the same Almighty of heaven and earth knows us more than we know ourselves. It's as if he's shining a light into the deepest crevices of our being. He doesn't stop short at just knowing and counting the number of hairs on your head, but he goes even farther and deeper as he determines our thoughts before we even think them ourselves. And believe me when I say the holy and just God will not overlook such transgressions over his law. In order for God to overlook sin, he would first have to cease being God. For justice is part of his eternal nature. It's a characteristic and attribute of the Almighty, never ceasing, never changing, never diminishing. God's righteousness remains ever full and ever potent since the foundation of the world into all of eternity. And if you won't hear the truth from my mouth of God's holy demands, then perhaps you will hear it from the testimony of the world itself. Let Sodom and Gomorrah bear witness to God's holiness as fire and brimstone rain down upon the iniquity of man. And let the drowning world at the time of Noah speak the truth to you as God brought judgment through rain and floods as he covered the face of the earth. As the wicked and as those who were debased in mind perished under the waves of the deep. And let the lost cities of Tyre, Sidon, and Nineveh speak to the righteousness of God. May their forgotten relics and buried corpses witness to the very judgment of God. All of these stand before the throne of God, mourning and weeping, as him whose eyes are as fire looks down upon them. And so where does that leave man to stand before God? Well, on your own, you don't stand at all. For on your own, you rather fall under the judgment of Christ, the King, as do those who have gone before us. But in Jesus, again, you stand justified. You stand freed from guilt. No punishment to bear, for you stand by grace as a gift. You stand in the riches of God at Christ's expense. In verse 26, Paul further tells us that Jesus is both just and the justifier. Again, he couldn't just overlook sin, for he is a pure and holy God. He is just. But in Jesus, he can be both just according to his nature, but he can also be the justifier of you. For in Jesus, he takes your punishment. Because again, grace, again, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ paid the penalty. He paid the debt. The holy demands of the law are satisfied in the person and work of the holy God. It's the blood of the Creator, so precious, so pure and valuable. His blood, so gloriously magnificent that it makes satisfaction for all who believe. To think that very God of very God, the Lord of all, the ruler over angels, the creator of all things visible and invisible, would make satisfaction for your sin. That he would be your justifier. That he would declare you justified at his own expense. as he, the Lord and giver of life, gave himself for the forgiveness of sins. The giver and sustainer of life hanging himself upon a cross. The Lord of life dying a sinner's death. It is he who is of such priceless worth and perfection that came so low. The God who wore a diadem of stars put aside his glory to put on a crown of thorns. The Lord who ruled over creation and the world with a mighty fist suffered his hands to be nailed to a cross. And the Lord whose feet graced above the clouds and over the highest heavens were fastened to a tree. Jesus is the justifier, as Isaiah tells us, and it pleased the Father to crush him. It satisfied the law's demands as Jesus was whipped and smitten. Blow after blow from both the hands of man and from God the Father led him to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet even still, payment was not satisfied. A life was still demanded. This, however, Jesus paid also, for he spared no expense. Indeed, he breathed his last upon the cross, saying, it is finished. Never before had the law and righteousness of God received such a perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice. His blood of infinitely more worth than what the law could ever demand from you or me. For his blood was the blood of the eternal, living, and glorious God. And so here we see Jesus both as just and the justifier. Jesus remains all just and holy. And his justice he gives again freely as a gift. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Would you not receive it? He gives it freely through the life and death of Jesus. And would you reject such a free blessing of grace? For he promises it to you not by works or merit, not by money or price, but it is offered to be given to you freely. If I were to preach justification and eternal life by works, who among us would not walk 1,000 miles to a distant land? If justification was obtained through such a work, how many of us would not delay the journey another moment? Or if God promised justification through whipping or lashes, how many of us would gladly endure it for a while for the promises of a blessed future? And yet, when it's free from beginning to end, and when it's freely offered, freely given, freely received, how men so choose to reject it and to turn it aside. How poor and worthless men must value the blood of Christ and the gospel of Jesus if they think that they can earn it. You shall not receive a justification as long as you blaspheme it, belittle it, and insult the gift as a minor thing. If you think that you can buy it through mere works of your hands, Christ will not indulge your blasphemous delusion. Justification is not yours as long as you think you've earned it. Justification is a foreign thing as long as you think you have obtained it through merit. Because Christ does not share his glory. The one who thinks he contributes to his salvation is the farthest from being justified. You cannot purchase heaven with good works nor with money. $1,000,000 would not buy you a square foot in heaven in which to stand in, where the streets are paved with solid gold. It is free by the grace of God to obtain salvation. And the more that you think you've worked your way into heaven, the more you venture on your journey to obtain salvation by works, then the faster the treadmill of self-justification runs you backwards. You will never reach the top of the tallest mountain. In fact, you will not reach or even rise a farther inch in your journey as long as your footholds give way and you venture farther and farther down. And never would you prove the tiniest bit closer to the farthest star to which Jesus has ascended. And so how then is one justified and receive the eternal riches of God? It is freely given and therefore freely received. It is given through a simple request and simple faith. Jesus says, "He who comes to me, I will never cast out." Lay hold of that promise. The law may say that you are the greatest of sinners, but that in no way enters into the equation of what Jesus just spoke. He said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." The law may show me to be a great blasphemer, but I claim the promises of Jesus, for he says, "Whoever comes," and I do come in faith. I come not trusting in my own merit, but I come clinging to his grace. The law may show me to be a murderer, but no matter how true that may be or how dark my sins have stained my soul, God shall never be proved a liar. He will be just and be my justifier. For whoever comes to me, I will never cast out, Jesus says. Lay claim to God's promises, receive his grace, and offer nothing to him but a beggar's hand to receive God's gift of life through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Continue to lead us by your Spirit to convict us and to bring us to the knowledge of truth and to repentance. May we, as your beloved children, always be found to be recipients of your loving kindness. For you desire mercy, and you do not find pleasure in the death of the wicked. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, we praise and glorify you, that you remain holy, perfect, and true all of our days. For there is no change in your person, and you are entirely the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give us confidence and assurance that never will you leave us, never will you forsake us. For you will never cast away anyone who comes to you. And so we do come before your presence with nothing to offer except joyful thanksgiving. We come empty-handed, and you so fill our hearts and soul with life, joy, and thanksgiving. May a life of praise be our glad response each and every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And loving Father, you are a good Father who knows how to give good gifts to your children. In your wisdom and knowledge, you know what's best for us and for our salvation. You know what's best for us and for our witness as your children. May you continue to bless us as you pour out your graces upon our lives. And Lord, where you find it fitting, may we boldly and confidently go through any trial you would have us go through. And in the midst of them, may we ever be drawn closer to you, and may we experience your goodness and taste and see that the Lord is good. In light of this, Father, we do pray further for the family and friends of Betty Grant. May they continue to find encouragement in the promise of the resurrection, as well as in one another. And we again thank you for working through Betty these many years as a faithful servant to you and your kingdom. We pray for the Rail family, relatives of Ray and Darlene, as the Rails grieve the passing of their grandmother. Be with them at this time to comfort and strengthen them. And we thank you for the 100 years of life and service that you have given her on this side of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And God of grace,
We thank you for continuing to work in the lives of your saints. We thank you especially this morning for those celebrating weddings and anniversaries. We thank you first of all for the uniting of Brent and Valerie in marriage last night. We praise you for bringing them together, and we pray for your ongoing blessing and protection among them and their family. And gracious God, we rejoice also along with Bob and Janet Eichels as they celebrate their 50th anniversary. We thank you for this great milestone and for your ongoing care. May they find means to celebrate along with their family and friends during this time. May this day be a day of joy for them as they think back to their lives together. We thank you for always being with them, providing, protecting, and caring for them throughout their many years. May they continue to grow in love for one another. And we also thank you for Bill and Barb, who celebrated their 47th anniversary this past Tuesday. We thank you for the ongoing work you do through them for your saints. May you continue to use them and their marriage as a testimony to your design of marriage as a shadow of the union between Christ and the church. Be with them as they too grow in love, honor, and in devotion to each other. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask for you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
us from evil.
our Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
congregation please stand? Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord